Hey, Alf.
Hey, everybody else. It's Allison.
I'm Kevin.
And it is Parshat.
Va'era.
And we're making up for Shemos.
This is our makeup, or we're just doing a two-in-one? How's it working?
Two-in-one.
Okay.
Decided. Boom.
But is it going to be double the length?
I think it's going to be double the impact, same amount of length.
That's what you're getting. You're getting more bang for your buck.
Hopefully. But I hope that also doesn't discourage us or encourage us from skipping weeks. So
that's true.
We have a super spicy episode, and that way everyone's like, oh, skip more weeks.
That. Did you hear about this? There's a comedian, Cat Williams. He had a very viral.
What's Cat short for?
I don't know.
C-A-T, K-A-T?
K-A-T-T.
K-A-T-T? Okay. Yeah. What's the language of origin?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, but he was on this podcast, and he was saying how he's funnier than all these other comedians. And he was saying the way that he knows that he's funnier than other comedians is because he's like, I have more laughs per 30 minutes.
Mm.
So he's like, these other comedians, they're at like 10 laughs per, 30-minute set. I'm at 25 laughs per 30-minute set. So I know, like, statistically, I have the metrics that I'm better than all these other comedians.
Okay. So what did the other comedian say to that?
It was, he threw a lot of shots out there.
It's a good thing this isn't a comedy podcast.
Is it a comedy podcast?
Come in dead last.
Why do you say we come in dead last?
I don't know. Firstly, we can't even measure to 30 minutes. We don't give ourselves 30 minutes to even.
Okay.
We're clear your end.
That's what you do, ratios, divide by three.
No, but part of having jokes is setting them up right. And you can only set jokes up right if you have 30 minutes.
You need 30 minutes to set up a joke? That's a low percentage per minute.
But in order to have, also with comedy, there are callbacks. Are you familiar with the callback?
We do that. We do.
Try to do that.
We do a little Seinfeld. We'll end it with maybe a Cat Williams reference.
So there needs to be enough time to go on a separate journey in order for a callback to actually be funny.
Layers.
Yes.
Inception.
Right. And so that's why you don't see any 20-minute Netflix comedy specials.
But we do have the 10-minute Halacha Shears, 20-minute Parsha Shears. So that's our lane. We're not in the Netflix comedy lane. We don't need to be a part of that mishigas.
But Netflix, if you're out there, consider it. No, I'm not kidding. All doors are open. That's all I have to say.
We definitely try to keep our doors open. But sometimes it's hard to keep your doors open. There's a line that I think about from this week's Parsha where Hashem tells Moshe the four Lishonot of Geula.
Okay, now in English.
The four different phrases of redemption from Egypt, where it says, Ve'heveti, ve'itzalti, ve'lakachti, ve'ga'alti, that, I'll bring them, and I'll take them, and I'll redeem them, and I'll bring them. I don't remember all the words that it said. And then it says that Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, weren't able to hear Moshe mi kotzer ruach u'me'avudah kasha. That the children of Israel weren't able to hear Moshe because of their crushed spirits and the cruel bondage that they were under. This is chapter 6, verse 9. What do you make of that verse?
Well, I think that there's certainly an idea of it's hard to hear people when you're weighed down by a lot of other challenges and that you can just feel very much in your stuff.
Right. Yeah. I remember Andrew Yang, still doing good things. He, on one of his podcasts, he was like, the reason that like poorer Americans don't care about climate change is because like 40% of Americans don't have $400 in savings. And like, if you don't have $400 in spare cash and you're living paycheck to paycheck, like, who cares if there's going to be a tidal wave in New York in 2060? Like,
and you certainly don't have the luxury to go ahead and spend the money that's better for the planet,
right?
And like make those type of decisions,
right? So it's like, the planet's being destroyed, and I'm just like,
I can't eat.
I can't hear that. I remember there's a book that we read. What was it called? The Seven Things for...
Seven Principles for Making a Marriage Work.
Mm, nice.
Yeah, we read that before we were married.
So one of the things that it says is that it's written by Dr. John Gottman and his wife, and it says that they have this like love lab where they watch couples interact, and
it's PG.
According to the footage.
PG footage.
The PG footage.
Love lab.
Well, yeah, it's like a, yeah.
We all know what they were thinking.
I didn't go there. But you're right. I don't realize the things that I'm saying.
Well, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so
the difference.
That every...
They put couples in a space and they observe how they interact.
Yes.
And they know that they're being watched.
Hidden camera. That for every one criticism that a person and relationship gives, they should have five compliments. That's like the minimum ratio of critique to compliment.
Yep.
So it's like people literally can't hear your criticism if it's like tit for tat and like very just see you as like a critical person rather than someone who has their best interest in mind.
For sure. For sure. That was something I definitely kept in mind when I was a camp counselor. I'm like, these kids. Good job putting on your shoes. Like, I need to find, like, the littlest things. So that way when something actually didn't go so fabulous, I still had a good relationship with them.
Yeah. But at least the way that this verse is hitting me is, like, there was this international court justice thing that Israel was put on trial for genocide by South Africa in The Hague.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about this?
I did hear about it.
And there's another podcast called For Heaven's Sake, and they were talking about if they're able to hear this criticism now. Like,
you're right. We definitely have a shortness of spirit right now, and definitely heavy work that's being done in Israel. Our ears are certainly not open for this type of, maybe you should just refine this. And it's like, we're fighting for our lives right now. Like, we're doing our best.
Yeah.
There's no way we're hearing anything and implementing anything.
Yeah. And I was talking to my brother this week who went to the medic of his unit in the army was killed, and two of his friends from a sister or brother unit, like he was staff one, they were staff two, and they alternate, so they knew each other very well, were also killed. And like talking to him, and you're like in the war when you're feeling like your country is at risk and like being attacked in the international court, like not getting into like the details of like, well, what about this and this, like it's like not in the place to be able to hear that, just like going through loss and pain and like just a need to process. And it only, I think, frustrates and causes a sense of like resentment That's really the word that I'm thinking about.
But like going back to what you said about how people, like, you're not going to listen to someone if they just give you criticisms, like that's kind of where at least I feel like we're at with South Africa and like other nations that continually criticize Israel. It's like, we're not taking any tokusa, we're not taking any rebuke or implementing any lessons from you because we're writing you off as anti-Semitic and that's it.
Right.
Right? Our ears are totally shut to that.
Right. Like last year in the UN, there were, I don't remember the exact numbers, like 12 or 14 resolutions against Israel. Like one against North Korea, one against Iran, one against like China. I don't think there were any against China.
Oh, wow. How'd they pull that one off?
Well, I think China is one of like the big countries that has veto power. Mm. I think like one or two against Russia, one against like Syria. And that was it. So Israel had more
human rights abuses.
Human rights abuses than, or accusations or bills against it. I don't even know.
Right. It's absurd.
Yeah. As Ben Gurion said in Hebrew, is the UN. So he said, shmum.
Yeah. Write them off.
Like, you know, if all you're doing is just like criticizing and this and that and like, you know, the head of the women's rights affairs is like Iran, and like the head of like the human watch is like Syria. Like, it's like, what are we doing here?
What arena are we in?
Yeah.
I'm not playing.
Yeah. So it's just like that place of being really difficult to hear things. We were in a cab the other week in Israel, on our way from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv, and we were like had like a Arab cab driver who had an Israeli passport. Assuming he was also an Israeli citizen. And I was asking him like, what do you think about October 7th?
Well, you have to set the scene a little bit.
Set it.
Okay. We're loading up this car. We have way more bags than we could fit in his car. He's being so friendly and sweet and nice. And then we get into the car, we start driving, and Kevin starts speaking Arabic to him. And he's speaking to Eden, and he's like, shwaya, shwaya. I don't know whatever their words. Did I get that right?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. And he's like using all of these cutesy terms with like Eden. And then he's like, oh, is it okay if I play music? And he starts playing like, ha ha, or I don't know what other songs, like all of these like very Arabic songs, and this guy like
playing
it up.
Yeah,
of course. And then they were like talking about different artists and like who they like, whose music is the best in the Arabic world, and
Keltun, and
yeah, so they were like hitting it off. And so then after that baseline was established of Kevin being this like very unusual Yid who speaks Arabic and also plays, like, you were like, oh, should I put on some of the surahs or whatever? Because on our Spotify, we have like the reading of the Quran.
I like listening to it sometimes.
Yeah. So that's Kevin's thing, not mine. But so there was definitely rapport that was built. So that's the setting, as opposed to just getting in a taxi with someone and being like, so October 7th, what do you think?
You are very right.
Yeah.
That's important.
Important.
And that's also...
Don't do that is what we're saying.
No.
Don't
no.
not build rapport and then just ask people like, so do you think Hamas did what they did?
Yeah. And that's part of like also, I guess what, like the ability to hear things just from other people is like establishing some level of rapport in work. They said that you, before like giving criticism, you have to ask almost for like a micro acceptance of like ask permission to be able to say things, so that, you know, someone's in the capacity to like be able to functionally hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I did. I'm like, can we speak about politics for a little? Like, yeah, whatever. And then I was like, so what do you think about like what happened October 7th? How are people feeling about the war? Like, yeah, it's really terrible, the war, you know, lots of death. And I was like, do you think in the end, like, it was like worth it, like what Hamas did and like what the toll on Palestinian society has been. And he's like, yeah, what they do is best for Palestinians. That's who they care about the most, the people of Gaza, and they're getting prisoners and stuff. And I'm like, well, what do you think about all of like the sexual violence and the attacks on civilians and like the mutilation and torture? And he's like, Hakol mizuyaf. Like, it's all faked.
Yeah. And he said at first when he heard about October 7th, he was really upset because they heard that they killed babies. But that was all a lie. So when they heard that it was all a lie, it's great because they're just getting prisoner swaps and it's what we need.
Yeah. And he's like, they only took people and they only killed people who weren't cooperating. That's it. So that was difficult to hear. But like at the same token, like I'm also thinking about like just like dialogue in general and the ability also for like, I'm sure people who are dealing with loss to hear about like, yeah, your society has been run terribly and like taking some level of ownership or responsibility or just understanding.
Yeah.
I don't know. It made me think also about just like the ability to like hear, like absorb information when you've been like fed this narrative.
And you can see his face when he asked us, what, you think that they killed babies? And we're like, yup. Hate to break it to ya. And like, that's when it got like a little intense because all of a sudden we were like, we were his best friend. We were on his side the whole time. Ya habibi. And then this very significant fact turns the nature of the conversation.
Yeah, and there was like a report of someone said that there was more beheadings that there was, and that like an image was people said was like faked, but like, you know, the core thing is like, yes, kids were killed, and like that has to be acknowledged, and it was intentional, and it was like malignant, and like, I don't know. I think also there's something about remembering that and the lesson of like what happened. And I'm also just thinking about like Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim, like we're beginning the story of the Exodus and the idea of like remember the lessons of history. Mm. Has that been striking you at all? Like the resonance of history in this moment?
I think about it in like a very pessimistic sense. So not, and I acknowledge that I'm not the best person to speak to you about that if you want faith and excitement and optimism. Like, I'm very pessimistic about the cycle of Jewish history in some ways.
What do you mean?
And like unsurprised. I'm just like, for example, when October 7th happened and the silence was deafening about all of, like people's coworkers or just friends, so if you're in more like left-wing circle, it's like nobody's saying anything, nobody acknowledging anything before Israel even did any retaliation, right? I'm like, yeah, that's old news. Just like look at the history books and like who's standing up for us, which isn't a fair, that isn't a fair thing because there are plenty of non-Jews who are sympathetic and reaching out and showing up to rallies and like showing up for us. So I do need to give them credit, but at the same time, I'm not surprised for those people that don't, you know, whereas a lot of other people felt like a deep level of shock and, maybe abandonment. It's probably the right word. And I'm just like, at the end of the day, who's going to take care of us the most? Us. That's it. So I'm not. I'm quite pessimistic when it comes to Yidden needing to rely on anyone but ourselves.
Right.
And in that sense, Jewish history, in the cycle of Jewish history.
Right. There's a really interesting essay by Einat Wilf where she talks about how power corrupts, but also powerlessness corrupts.
Mm.
And that, like, Jews being powerless basically for the past 2,000 years since we were expelled from our homeland, and like didn't have our own state when there is, you know, over like 70 Muslim majority nations, 100 something Christian majority nations, like whatever the numbers are, like you become like differential to other people who won't necessarily have your best interest. And like, I don't know, you take on a little bit of like an asking stance from the government, from these mm-hmm. things that like is hard to rely on. Like, you could say that we're in a different period of Jewish history, and that like, oh, you know, if, let's say Jews in Iran needed help, like they would be accepted in America or something. But we've seen from Jewish history that like St. Louis was turned around like plenty of times that we've, and now there's a huge immigrant crisis, and it makes sense that countries aren't willing to just absorb any immigrants. And like,
right.
That's the reality. And Israel is the place where Jews can go when we're in trouble.
Yeah, and it's scary to think that people want to take that away from us.
Right. But it does, I think, give us the ability to not be reliant
mm-hmm.
and not need to be. I mean, obviously, and we see also like in this week's parsha, like the Exodus, like they wouldn't even listen to Moshe about leaving Egypt because they were reliant. Like it's like there's a power and a powerlessness that both of them corrupt in different ways.
Sure. I mean, in that scenario, they're just so stuck. Or you always talk about like the slave mentality that they had when they left.
Right. And that gets back to what Cat Williams was talking about
on this podcast. The fallback.
There you go.
20 minutes. See, we set it up.
We set it up well, perfectly. That he was saying that he does his own production. He does his own things, and he isn't reliant on studios and other backings, which is why he has like a level of like liberty and flexibility to do things that other Black comedians don't do. And they kind of bend their knee to certain the wills of different scripts or studios. So we're a totally independent platform podcast over here at Torah Between Us. We have no we have our own self-determination, and we're going to keep giving you good, free thinking, independent content week after week.
Well, I mean, clearly not, because we're making up for last week.
Week after week, every week, giving it to you. Last week's
every
episode.
Every other week, maybe sometimes week after week.
Last week's episode may or may not have been censored by the...
We actually released an episode last week. Spotify took it down.
Yeah, Spotify is the big brother. That's our powerlessness. Yeah. Tof. But Shabbat is a day to say that we have the power. We don't need to work. We can be masters of our own time.
And a bracha for everyone.
And I hope everyone feels free in 2024. Feels free this Shabbat to be able to be owners of their time, and to also give yourself the space to listen, to be open. If you can, if there isn't a burden weighing on you.
And also just want to call out, because you were talking about the idea of immigration. So Rabbi Wilds, our fearless leader at MJE, unfortunately his father passed away this week. What's his name?
His name is Mr. Leon Wilds, but it's also in Hebrew, Levi Ben Avraham Tzvi.
Levi Ben Avraham Tzvi. So even the Shema should have an Aliyah. The Wilds family should find comfort. And if you haven't yet paid a Shiva call, Shiva ends Monday in the city. But any quick highlights about what you learned about him, things that were inspiring? things that we can model in his honor.
Just that he really modeled a sense of dignity, and he really was a deep listener, and that he would listen to all different type of Jews, all different types of people, from being an immigration lawyer. You get a whole array of characters. Yeah, and that ability to really like focus and listen and hear out the other side and meet the whole person was something that he definitely embodied and was spoke about a lot. So listen to people. They're interesting. Can have good conversations, whether it's with your cab driver, whether it's with an immigration lawyer, whether it's with
your wife.
Your wife.
Listen to your wife.
Tov. Have a beautiful Shabbos, everyone, and a great week.
Shabbat shalom.